Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Now, the reason why you get to preach partial messages when you come to Palestine is because they have a clock. But Fred ignored the clock. Stephanie and I were with Freddie last weekend in Athens, and I remember we were walking down the street, and I told Freddie, you know, I asked him what he's got in his heart for this conference, and he said, "Oh, I got some things going on." And I said, "Well, you know, they want you to preach for 30 minutes." And he just laughed. He's still laughing. Oh, weren't you blessed by Freddie? I tell you, he's the same off the stage as he is on the stage. He's just he's really a brilliant man. I mean, I think you could deduce that. And his brain just works on a whole different plane. And we just so enjoyed our time in Athens with Freddie and got to just partake of some of the fruit of he and Sherry's life labor and some of the people we met and the places we saw. It was just such a blessing. So Freddie was a gracious host. And just glad. I think we're going to hear from him again this weekend, which I'm looking forward to. You know, but I'm gonna stay with obviously the theme of the meeting. Ricky called a couple of days ago just to check in, make sure everything was in order for me to come. And you know, I said, "Well, I think I've got something on my heart I want to share, you know, in and around the kingdom." But I caught wind that there was some things about business. And I said, "Well, I'm not really equipped to talk about the business side of things. I'm not a business guy." And Ricky assured me that's fine. And he said, "You know, Juan Carlos always tells me, you know, why do we even give themes on these conferences? Because, you know, everybody's just going to preach anyway, you know." So if the theme is the cross, you say the word cross, and then you move on and teach your topic anyway, you know. But I'm going to be a good participant, and I'm going to stay with the theme of the conference. I love the theme, "The Kingdom Has Come." And Ricky's right. When I was here in July, I had the opportunity to share with the church. It was a real blessing to be here. And we went to lunch, and we just got to talking. And then at lunch, Ricky and Jonathan invited me to come to the conference. I said, "Well, we'd love to come down and participate." And he said, "Well, I want you to speak as well." And I said, "Well, that's not necessary." And I said, "Well, we want you to." So I've been praying into this. It's been 2 months ago since we were here, and I've been praying into this. And it's really been sitting in my heart for a couple of months. A lot of us in the room go around and do a lot of things for the kingdom. And for some reason, this time has just sat in my heart really in a good, heavy way and in germinating. And I have a really big expectation for this whole weekend, personally. I really think I keep hearing connections. I keep hearing there's some things going to resonate in people's hearts to be connected in the kingdom. And so really just praying into that and looking forward to what God does during this time. But when I started thinking about what I would share, my mind went right to that, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." You mentioned it when we started earlier, you know. And probably one of the greatest Christian prayers, the Lord's Prayer, and great statements about the kingdom. But when I started thinking about that, you know, Freddie talks a lot about hearing the voice. And I just heard the voice, and I felt like I heard the voice say, "It did, and it was." Yeah. "It did, and it was. Thy kingdom come," yes. "It did." Yes. "Thy will be done," it was.
Yes.
Okay? So, in my word of advice to you and to myself, and I think Freddie would concur, is that as you walk by the voice, It's important that you hear it, but then it's important to seek out what it is it means. And so I'm thinking, okay, Lord, and what really highlighted to me was the part "it was." You know, "It has come," that was obvious. Jesus made it very, very clear. But then "Thy will be done," It was done. That's what I felt like the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart to investigate. So I've been spending time with God along those lines. And, you know, Jesus was very clear. You know, John 5, and I'm not like Freddie. I'm not a walking concordance, and I just can't do what he does, you know. It's intimidating, you know. I can quote John 3:16, and no pressure. You know, yeah, I was going to start and saying, I've already got two strikes against me. I have to follow Freddie, and I have to preach before lunch. You know, so the food will be there. Don't worry. It won't be cold. John 5:30, Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own initiative, right? As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then in John 6:38, again, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So it's obvious. So for me, I have to start, this is the way I'm wired, I have to start from the big picture before I can go down into the details. And so I started asking the Lord, Lord, show me about your will. Now, probably one of the most, I mean, I travel around, I do a lot of things, and one of the things I do is I do a lot of work into the younger generation. I'm tied into YWAM. Some of you know YWAM. I teach in YWAM schools all over the world. And, you know, and it's not just for young people, old people alike. But one of the resonating questions in the heart of so many people all the time is, what is God's will for my life, right? That's like the famous Christian question of all time. You know, the practical outworking, like, what does God want from me? You know, that's micro, if I can put it that way. That's the small, I mean, really, your life is small. Man, it feels big. Because it's yours, it's important. But really, in the whole scheme of things, it's really small. You know, but macro is, it takes us back to the heart of God, okay? And so I started thinking along this line, and the Lord took me to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I want to just sit in Hebrews chapter 10 just for a few minutes, and I want to read some scriptures to you, and I really want you in your spirit to catch what the writer of Hebrews is saying in Hebrews chapter 10. And I think I already have, is that the right? Yes, thank you. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Now, this is written about Jesus. So God prepares a body, a physical body for Jesus. I wish we had a lot more time. And we could, there's a whole discussion about the implications of the significance of the incarnation of Christ. Probably the most significant thing, if you ever thought about it along these lines, is that the reason why, one reason among many, but probably one of the most fundamental, foundational reasons why Jesus came incarnation, yes, he was to be exemplary for human life, and to live the life that he lived, to be a sacrifice, but he had to have a body so that he could present his body as a sacrifice for sin. So God made for him a body, okay? So that, watch, so that he could do the Father's will.
That's right. That is exactly right.
Thank you for the confirmation. We preachers need confirmation. Affirmation. Amen. So he needed a body so that I could do the will of God. After saying, verse 8 above, the scriptures, offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired. I mean, that throws a whole nother discussion concerning the old covenant and what was happening in that economy. That's what it was. It was an economy. It was the economy of God in that economy, God never even desired those things. But it was because of the hardness of the heart of the people. That's another topic. You've not taken pleasure, which are offered according to the law. That was really the problem. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. I've come to do your will. Now listen to this. He takes away the first. Context. What is the first? The sacrifices. In order to establish the second.
Wow.
What is the second? Doing his will. So God does away with an economy of sacrifice and brings in doing his will. Doing the will of God is of the highest order in the kingdom. That's what Freddie was talking about. He was talking about being plugged in, hearing the voice, and obeying. That's doing the will of God. That's right. So he establishes a second. And by this will. Now the New American Standard Version, you can read it two different ways. I want to make it clear to you that will in verse 10 is a noun. It's not the future tense. See, it gets confusing because in English we say, I will go to lunch. Well, that is not the will. So it sounds like in the New American Standard, the writer saying, by this will we have been sanctified.
Whoa.
Huh? That's not what he's saying. He's saying, by this will that I fulfilled, we were sanctified. Wow. You're not going to will be sanctified. You're not going to be sanctified. You have been sanctified by Jesus fulfilling the will of the Father. Might start preaching. Through the offering of the body.
Come on.
Once and for all.
Amen.
Jesus. I wish I could repeat everything he said, but then I would just preach the sermon again. He said something. When you first started, you started talking about, the kingdom. Yes, there's the expressions, there's the miracles, there's the signs, but that's not it. It's part of it. But there's something deeper. There's something more foundational and profound about the kingdom, and it is that God's will gets done. And Jesus was about his Father's will. That's why he came. Now, he did a lot of things to demonstrate the anointing was on him to do the works, and there were reasons for all that. We could go to all different directions, but the most important of which is that he came in his body to do the will of God, which was to sanctify the people, to bring salvation. And that is what was done. He brought the kingdom and he did the will of God.
Amen.
So Jesus did the will of God through his body, of which the Father had prepared for him. It was God's delight. This is that word will. It's what delights God. It's what God desires. It's what he intends and wishes to do. It's something close and dear to the Father's heart. It was and is the closest thing to God's heart. I'm telling you. But to do the will of the Father, listen closely, even Jesus had to surrender his will.
Come on, that's right. That'll preach.
Yes, it will. So all you got to do is go to the Garden of Gethsemane. We're not going to go and read the text. No. You can go Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22. It's a good exercise to synoptic that experience of Jesus. There's things different in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke. But you know what it comes down to. Now, Jesus, I thought it was ironic. Well, nothing's ironic. It was purposeful in the Lord that the Lord had taught his disciples how to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Are you hearing some of the language of the Garden of Gethsemane? Yeah. He told his disciples. He took Peter, John, and James and John into the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, keep watch. Yeah. That means pray. Yeah. Don't sleep. Yeah. Lest you fall into temptation. Yeah. So Jesus takes these good, intimate circle friends into this place, and he asked them to pray for him.
Yes.
And pray, thy will be done.
Yeah.
See, now, don't judge Peter, James, and John. They weren't there yet. They just weren't. So they didn't know that now we're approaching the, if I can put it this way, the end of the story, where Jesus is going to culminate doing the will of the Father. And at that moment, Jesus is greatly distressed.
Yes. Amen. Come on.
Sorrowful in his, where? Soul.
Amen.
And he sweats blood. Because knowing what he is going to have to do the will of the Father. And three times he beseeches the Father.
Wow.
I don't want to do it.
Wow.
I'm just reading the scripture.
Come on.
Jesus had to surrender his will to the will of the Father. See, this is the beauty of who Jesus is. Jesus operated by a divine inner governance. He knew where the government of the kingdom lied.
Well, that's right.
It lied in the hands of the Father. And he was sent to do the Father's will. So the authority is in the inner governance.
Come on.
It's what empowered Jesus to do it, and he didn't just do it, it was effective.
Amen.
Sorry, it's a private joke. We spent lots of hours on the porch. And we had a lot of conversations about the effectiveness. The efficacy, that's a big word. It worked. It worked. It did what it was meant to do. It accomplished the purpose. That's what inner governance does. When you operate like Jesus, this is where, and I really am going to preach short this morning, praise the Lord, because I just had an assignment to bring this one thing to you. Your will determine the extent of the manifestation of the kingdom of God. See, Jesus himself had to go through this process. But he chose the right way.
Wow.
Not my will,
Jesus,
but yours be done. That's the ultimate place. And that's where God wants to take each one of us. So, I was really wrestling last night. Jonathan and Sophie have provided a beautiful accommodation for me, and Stephanie would have meant to be here with us. And there was nothing wrong with the place, but I couldn't sleep. So I tossed and I turned and I was up until like 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I slept a little bit and I was up again and finally got up at 5, and I was like, Lord, I want to land this thing this morning. I want to bring your heart in it. And this little song came into my mind. You'll remember it's an old song. It's called Refiner's Fire. I'm not going to try to sing. Refiner's Fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy.
Yes.
Set apart for you, O Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Jonathan and Sophie, I met them when I came into town yesterday, and we had dinner over here, and we've just been having a fun time. I won't share everything, but we just started talking a mile a minute because we just wanted to get to know each other, and we are discerning early on that it's one of those joints.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we're sowing into that with great pleasure, and it's been great. But Sophie was just sharing. They're sharing along their story, and a lot of you know their story. It's a crazy story, amazing story, and how they, you know, went from where they went in the Dallas area and came down here, and then Jonathan had his accident and all the things. But Sophie was sharing about in Dallas when God had spoken to Jonathan, and she was in her process, and then she just started crying in the restaurant. Just one of those precious times. And she said these words. She said, I just remember the fire. I remember the first fire. And then she went on to share about how God led her through this process, in my translation, where she could bring her will in alignment with God's. And it's a beautiful, beautiful journey for all of us. But it is a refiner's fire. I love what Freddie says, and it's not in spiritual pride, but it's in truth. You have to pay the price. It's just the price. And see, so I sat with this, and I had this question. So the Lord just gave me this question to submit to you this morning to consider. I don't know where any of you are, really. I could share with you where I am. Yeah, I've shared with a couple of people, but people already knew where we're walking in our season of life, Stephanie and I and our family. But we're all in the season, the now season. What does your now season look like? And if you could know, here's the question. If you could know God's will for you right now, if it was just opened up to you, maybe you have some sense of it. Maybe God's, but I think all of us would say, I'd like to see it clearer. I mean, can I confess? I would. Yeah. But if we could draw the curtain and we could see it so clearly, would we be prepared to surrender and obey at all costs? Now, because here's, I'm not an old man yet, praise God, but I'm getting older, and it's happening, and it's a beautiful thing in many ways. In other ways, it's not, but in the ways of the Lord, it is a beautiful thing, and what I am discovering, and I have discovered, and I think I will continue to discover, is that the road to walking in the will of God is marked with suffering. It doesn't sell tickets. But it was fitting, Hebrews 2, it was fitting for him from whom are all things and through whom are all things, that he would perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. So what makes us think that we would be perfected apart from that? Like, is there another plan? Plan B?
Father, if there's another way.
Amen. For Christ giving us an example that we might suffer with him.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
So, where is your will? What is God after in you? See, Freddie said it over and over. The kingdom is a transformative life. A transformative life means that God goes to the deepest possible place in your will. Not because he's mean, not because he knows what you were created for.
Yes.
He knows you were created to bring him glory. He knows you were destined to walk out his will so that he would be glorified on the earth. That's why we're here.
Amen.
We're not here for our own.
That's right.
That's not kingdom. That's the world. Get what you can all you get, and sit on the can. Hopefully there's better business principles than that in the kingdom. That's my business seminar right there. That's not the kingdom. It's lose everything, come and follow me, and I will make you a blessing to other people. Now you're living in the kingdom. But God, I know. I've got desires. We sure, we all have desires. And I'm not saying we become desireless, but God knows where our wills must bend to his will. Because that's where the life is. And that's where he's calling all of us. So this morning, I don't know what circumstances and what situations you're facing, what season you're in, where you want to see it go, how you want to get there. I just want you to inspect where your will is.
Yes.
What are you willing? God is faithful to lead you in his will. He is faithful. He speaks. He directs. He orchestrates. It's a beautiful journey. But it's like Freddie said, we have to participate. We have to be involved with the Lord. And I just believe this morning, my mandate was to come and to have you inspect where your will is. Where's your heart?
Come on.
What are you purposing? As it aligns to God's purpose. Because that's what we want. We want God's will to be done. Jesus did it. The will was accomplished so that we could follow in his will and walk in the kingdom. Because that's where the kingdom will be manifested.
That's right.
When our hearts are surrendered.
That's right.
The more you surrender, the more the kingdom's expressed.
Yes.
And the kingdom's all about the internal governance. Put quite simply, who's king?
Wow.
Who is king? And the manifestation of God's will always have to pass through your will. It just has to. Because God will always honor us. He won't ever God never violates your will. He won't do it. He will let you have your will. It's crazy. He's a gentleman. It's just like Freddie said this morning. You can receive it if you want to.
That's good.
You don't have to. But you were willing. So the will, our will opens up to the things of God. So where's your will this morning? I want you to stand. I'm done. I want to read a couple of verses over you, and then I'm done. Hebrews chapter 13. I want you to listen. I want you to receive this for what it is. It's a benediction. It's a speaking well over your life. And I want you, again, just like Freddie, I want you, if you will, to receive it as a blessing. You need to be blessed.
Yes, hallelujah.
Man, and I want to bless you. The Lord wants to bless you.
Yes.
Hebrews 13. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will. Working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever.